Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends. Jeff Bullen, owner and founder? No.
Yeah.
And
That founder of the Beer Stube.
Beer Stube
started in 1965.
Gotcha.
And they went through series of owners. At one point, they even had six people that owned it.
Oh, that's good.
Can you imagine how they were killing each other?
Yeah, that's right? Not good.
Every night when you worked in there, it was a different set of rules depending on which one was there.
Well, nice. Well, welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Yep.
So when did you take ownership?
We bought the Beer Stube, and a buddy of mine, Chuck Feilhart, and I bought the bar in 98.
1998.
Actually, November 2nd, we took over.
Okay.
We went in there, and they pulled out their money out of the drawer. We put ours in and just kept going.
And that's all
nice.
That's all you had to do?
That was it.
That's nice.
Well, we had to count all the inventory.
Yeah.
Write them a check. The other monies for when we purchased the business was done earlier that day. Downtown, and just kept going.
I know. Yeah. So what? You didn't have to do one thing to. Did you change?
Oh, no. There was tons of stuff.
I was gonna say. I didn't know if you just walked.
The way you made it sound.
Get out. We're good.
When we bought that place, the bar was all beat up. The chairs were beat up. The stuff you leaned on was tore. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was relatively small. It was 2,400 square feet.
What is it now?
Most of the, it's 6,000.
Whoa. And, that is big, I guess.
Yeah,
I
mean, there's a whole other side.
Yeah.
Well, and half of the 2,400 square feet was a back room. So it was, not very much room, really, just a long, thing. But it was basically a duplicate of what they started with in 1965 over on Lasky Road, which is where Pat and Dandy's is now.
Sure. Okay.
And the original owners, which were some people up made, went to school with, I can't remember his name right now, but they started the place.
Okay.
And, one group to another, to another, to another. But then we bought it in 98, and I've owned it ever since. So that's, 27 years now? And my partner passed away 9-10 years ago, and I've owned it by myself since then. Mm-hmm. And, I'm in the process, actually, of selling it to a former or an employee that came in 20-some years ago, and I'm just carrying the note for her for 20 years. So she didn't have to go out and get a loan or do anything, and I still go in there, repair, fix, do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Which gives me something to do rather than sitting at home watching movies all day. I go, you do a lot of golfing and skiing in the winter. But
and then you're not sad. You still have the business
right.
as part
of
your
just
life.
Just something to do.
And
that deal will be, she'll have me paid off in 19, and I'll be 88 years old. So will I be here?
Yeah,
I don't know.
We're going to go with yes.
All I'm doing is, like my son told me the other day, I'm working for overtime. Trying to make it to overtime. There you go. That's what he said. I'm trying to make it to overtime. So when I'm 76 and a half years old, then I'm in overtime.
Well, that's a pretty generous way to start a business.
I know. I'm sitting here thinking, man, why couldn't I have been her?
I know, right?
Crap.
That's very. She must
well,
be one heck of an employee.
She did me. Lauren is fabulous. She just did a great job. She's the kind of employee that came in from day one, and when she saw something that needed to be done, she did it. She didn't ask. If you didn't care for what you did, you might a few times, but that really didn't happen because she did things she saw needed to be done. And then I told my partner who ran the everyday operations of the bar, I said, look, start using her to do some of your work, and you'll find out she's terrific. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay. And he did. And in about a month later, he says, you're right. She is. And he worked with her for about 10 years or so. And then when he passed, I looked at her and I said, hey, you want to, what do you want? Chuck did all this on legal paperwork. Me, I want it on a computer so I can get a printout every day and I see where everything is. And I'm going to switch that over that way now that Chuck's gone so it runs like my other business. And I said, that's what I want to do. And I said, so I'm going to have the CPA get all this set up and so forth. And she said, looked at me and says, well, can I set it all up? And I looked at her and I go, I had a feeling you'd ask me that. And I said, that way you can do it your way and you know it from ground up. Yes, 100%.
That's awesome.
Well, she did that for about 4 or 5 years. I can't say exactly. And one day I came to her and said to her, you want to buy this place? And I told her what I do. And I said, I'll carry the note for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, of course that, you know, when we talked about it. And then a couple years later, about a year later, COVID hit. And when COVID hit, I went out and did the stuff to look for what we needed to do because of COVID, you know, all the shutdown and all this. Mm-hmm. And I called her up and I said, well, what are we going to do? And she had it already all done.
Nice.
And I went,
I want to meet her.
I know.
And I said, she needs what? To be on the show next.
And I said, how about this? It was all done. And I said, you sure you don't want to? She goes, yeah, I do want to. And I said, well, nice. If we reopen and everything, you know, comes back to life, you're my partner. You know,
that's so nice.
That's a really good story.
Well, I think that's important that family businesses do these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I owned another business I started when I was 18 with my father, and then my family, my other brother and sister came in and worked with us, and we grew that from at the house to today. I mean, I've been retired from there for 22 years. And just the other day, I found out, because I haven't been over there much at all since I left. But just today, I found out my two nieces are running. My sister's daughter and my brother's daughter are now owners of the company. It's a totally female-owned business. And they run the thing, and my sister and brother both have retired.
Can you say what business it is, or is it secret?
That's up to Bolin Label Systems.
Oh, nice.
Okay. You know? Nice.
And they're from what I can see.
You know what? I've heard of that.
We started in 1969, you know, and we started in the garage, and one thing led to another. It's a big, long story. You want to hear it all, but
it's always in a garage.
I retired. Right? We were doing, from that point, I was 31 years later, we were doing $6 million a year, and now I understand I still have some people over there I know that I hang out with a little bit, and their controller told me, in the last year, that they're doing over $12 million a year now.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So they print labels, garage, right?
Just like your stickers. Yep. People call them stickers. Some people call them labels.
A friend of mine works for a label people.
Is that how Josh gets the
stickers?
He doesn't get them from there. No,
he does his own thing.
But he gets, because he does the more of a decal kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bolin's could do that, mm-hmm. but I don't. That's not their real forte.
Gotcha.
Okay. Nice.
But I bought the bar with Chuck, and my partner, he worked in a bar like I never did. But Chuck did, and that's what he knew how to do when he was in college and, you know, bouncing and, you know, bartending and all that. And he wanted to get into that business, and he knew I'd been in business since we were in high school. And he asked me if I'd go in with him. And, you know, we go back to the fourth grade, this guy. Mm-hmm. And we had 17 years of working together, and in 17 years, we never had an argument.
Wendy and I except we're only on five.
Right. Hey,
well, the trick,
we're doing good. What's
I'll
the
tell
trick?
You the biggest trick, and most people can't do it, 99.9% of people can't do it, is you put somebody in charge of something, and you let them do it,
mm-hmm.
and you accept their way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see all the time and constantly is people – always, especially when it comes to the money, as soon as something starts going a little south, they all want to start pointing fingers at each other and get mad rather than finding solutions and solving things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Chuck and I did. He was in charge of the money, and he did a fabulous job. And yes, there was years that I had three different occasions where a whole year went by and I couldn't collect a paycheck from the place. And the first one was the smoking ban. They came in and, you know, it was pretty miserable going through all that. And then we got through that, and, you know, customers left. They were mad at us because the state, if somebody imposes a smoking ban.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we recovered from that, and then the 08 recession, which drove everything, you know, really hurt bad. And that was another year that I couldn't take any pay. And then the COVID thing, a year and a half of that. So that was another year and a half of not, you know. But I was very fortunate to have a father that taught me how to, said, save money, because when it gets things get tough, you can still make it. And I always did that, and I made it through those, and then it started clean a paycheck again. So
that's nice. What other advice would you have for people wanting to start a bar right now, this day and age? You have any?
Well, I seen so many where people go in and they're best friends, and in 6 months they hate each other. I could point you out a few, but you don't want to hear those. But it's a real typical scenario.
I think what works is, see, Chuck, was it?
Chuck Feilhardt, correct.
He taught you that the bar industry.
Yep.
Where, so he kind of raised you.
In this industry,
in that industry. And that's Wendy and I.
Pretty similar scenario, it seems.
Wendy
like, yeah.
kind of raised me in the boutique industry and retail. And so Wendy and Chuck were who they want because they molded us. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes that's why it works out too, you know?
Well, if you open a business,
they can't get mad at us.
And you look, right. pay close attention to who's your best employees, who isn't complaining, they're out there looking for solutions. Those are the people that you need to, you know, to work with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's drama all the time, and you find the people that aren't into that, and those are the people you put in charge. And people who aren't, and the old saying is, you want to find people who don't pay any attention to the clock.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And, yep. you know, and that's harder to find lately.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody yeah. wants, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't do that. That's not my job, you know, and it's like, well, then, okay, it's not your job.
It's not your job. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
You have no job.
Oh, you can. I mean, you just find a good worker. There's plenty and plenty of good workers.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the problem with the whole, our country is the whole education system is educated. They're trying to educate us to become workers mm-hmm. because the wealthy people want people who will go in, do the work, and they're smart enough to do it right. And just dumb enough to do it also for them to make them super wealthy. Mm-hmm. And
that's why we need more entrepreneurs.
Yep. Oh, yeah. People won't, they don't want to take a chance. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a lot of stuff going on now.
Yeah. It's a
you
lot.
Know, I just wish I could understand all this computer stuff, you know.
Yeah.
My problem is I'm dyslexic and I look at a screen and they're telling me there's this button here and I'm going,
don't see it.
You know, my son, who's a computer genius, my oldest one, he can pick out anything in a split second. I'm looking all over that screen, and I'm going, where is this, you know, where's this icon or whatever it is I'm supposed to touch? Mm-hmm. It was upper left-hand corner, Dad, and I'm going like, and he goes, put your finger on the middle of the screen, do this. And I go, okay. And then I, oh, there it is. And he can come in. And my oldest boy is amazing when it comes to a computer. He can do anything. He'll fix a problem. You'll be dealing with it for months. He'll come in 5 minutes. It's, you know, there you go.
We're going to need his name. We'll need his number for later. You've got three boys, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Westinghouse right now pays him a lot of money, mm-hmm. like more than 2 and 3 times what I ever made in my life per year. Mm-hmm. And he can do things. They just love him because he just that's what he does.
It's his calling.
You know, and then I got another one that's a nuclear operator, and he was in the Navy and got that training in nuclear engineer. And then my youngest son, which mm-hmm. you know, is mm-hmm. Josh, is an electrician, and he just loves music.
He's very he's talented. He's sort of like just kind of good at whatever he gets his mind set
he's
on.
He's always so positive.
Yeah.
That's what I love
he's
about him.
Oh, he's a hard charger.
He really has always got a smile on his face, and no matter what, mm-hmm. He's always positive mm-hmm. and happy.
I got three great kids. That's great. I'm very, very, very fortunate. They don't come to me for money.
That's good.
They ask me for it. It's kind of funny how smart I've become in the last 10 years. You know, once they got it past 28 and 30, you know, and then all of a sudden, it's not so stupid.
Takes them a while, right? Doesn't it? So let's talk about some of the bands you've had at Beer Stew. What was the first, does music?
The very first band at the Beer Stew was the Kirby's.
Kirby's.
Which I can't even find them anymore. I wish I could. I've heard that they're still out there. Mm-hmm. And what it was the Kirby's were a band that the city of Toledo, down at the old event center downtown, they were going to have an Elvis impersonator. This is a long time ago, 20, 30 years ago. But they wanted an opening act, and the city went to a bunch of attorneys and court workers, and they put a band together, and they called themselves the Kirbys, and they were the, you know, and if Kirbys are listening, if they'd like to correct me, I'd like to know.
No, I think you're right. I'm having deja vu. I know, because I worked at the
and
courthouse. I know
they did
right.
the opening act at for the Elvis thing, and then every year they would do a benefit, and I believe it was for the old Newsboys, and they would play someplace and raise money to give to the old Newsboys, and they liked to do this. And these were attorneys and court workers. And one of my patrons, one of the things about buying a bar is you don't just buy a bar. It's like buying a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. When you buy a Harley-Davidson, you acquire a whole new group of friends. You don't just buy a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And when you buy a bar, you acquire all those patrons that come in there, all the regulars. And I had a regular that was a prosecutor for the city of Toledo. His name was Joe Leffler. And he told me about the Kirbys and asked me if they would like to come in, I could have them come in and play for this benefit. And I said, yeah. So what do they normally get for pay? And he told me, what, $600, $700, $800? I can't remember anymore. And I said, well, all right, well, I'll do that, but I'll pay them that, and then they can donate it. You know what I mean? It's up to them if they want to put it in their pocket or if they want to donate it, which they did. You know, that's what they wanted to do. And then we did, I can't remember what all, but they came in and played for this. And the funny thing was, is they were the guys that made the whole thing happen for me, where we have bands on Friday nights from 6 to 10. Because I told Joe that I would not quit my karaoke for that, and that was from 10 to 2. And I said, if I, you know, I can't mess with that. It's made, that's what's made us successful. And I said, but they can come in and play from 6 to 10. Well, it went over so good, which I was amazed. And then the band told me after they got done, this is great because now we get to go home by midnight.
Oh, it's wonderful.
You can pack up your stuff. You can have a few drinks. Right. And you're still home at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning rather than 4 in the morning, you know, when you play till 2. And it caught on like crazy. And I remember the first thing, when I first did it for about a month, I had people telling me I was that'll never work. You're an idiot. And then 6 months later, I'm a genius. And I said, no, all I am is an individual that's willing to try something and see what sticks.
Well, and it's great. Did. And being one of your band, you know, I play at the Beer Stew, it's perfect because you are home, but you have to tear down quick. So the band members aren't out talking and chit-chatting. It's like you're
quick
out of
turnover.
There, you know. Mm-hmm. But what's so funny is the clientele switches over. Completely different, especially with the Cheeks band. You have, you know, all the older clientele and whatnot, and then in comes all the 21-year-olds and 22
right.
and
That's
23,
cool.
and it's so neat. And I'm like, it just is. I remember years ago, the first time that I saw that, I'm like, wow, look at this. They leave, a whole nother clientele comes in, so it's got to be a major money maker because the people that already drank, already cashed out, and now you got a whole new slew of customers doing that same thing.
Yep. Well, now I find people in town, I see where other people are doing what I started. But like I said, I just fell on it, just lucked out, all because I didn't want to mess with my karaoke. And when Chuck and I bought the bar, in the first 6 months, every month Chuck would come to me, I need another $1,000, because it wasn't working. And the biggest thing was and I did all my due diligence, ran all the numbers, and everything looked like it should work. The one thing I didn't check on, what was the age of the patrons? And what I didn't realize, the owner before me was selling to kids underage. So about a third of the clientele was underage. And then when we started checking IDs and said, no, you can't come in, I lost the other third that hung out with them, and our business dropped like a rock. So the first 6 months was pretty disastrous, and I thought, well, I'm going to lose my money here. And then what happened was, is a woman came in called Laser Linda. She was a fabulous karaoke person. But so what happened is Laser come in, and actually she talked to my oldest boy at that time. He wasn't a computer guy. He was 22 years old. You know, he hadn't gotten that far in his life. And, you know, he was working with computers, but not what he's doing now. But anyways, he told her, yeah, come on back. So I met her on a Friday night. She asked me if we could do, or Joe, Chuck and I. Anyways, asked me if she could do karaoke, and We started next Friday, and all of a sudden, on a Friday night where we were doing $700-$800, it was $2,700 inside of 2 or 3 weeks. And this is when we only had actual seating was 1,200 square feet. You know, that was it. And then within 4 years, we doubled, more than tripled the size of the seating area, because we put on that side where the stage is now. Mm-hmm. And that brought us up to 36 total, but 24 is seating. And then Laser Linda went and found some guy and followed him down to Florida, which is a typical scenario.
It's always Florida.
Fell madly in lust.
Right? That's what I was for.
You know? She followed some guy, and she was going to be his first mate on his boat. From what I understand, that lasted about 3 months. But she stayed down there with her karaoke, down in Clearwater area here. And we brought a guy in named Micah, which did a fabulous job also. Great personality. Really was neat. And then what happened was is his girlfriend didn't want him doing the karaoke anymore because too many chicks were hitting on him. Because that's how she met him, and she didn't want him to go away the same way with somebody else. So, but anyways, he's gone on to do his own thing. He owns a bar, Wesley's, downtown now.
Oh, really?
Yep, he owns Wesley's, and he's doing. I assume he's doing a good job. I go down there. He's still there. He's been there, I think, about 10 years now. And I'd love to have him back. I'd love to have Laser. At least I'm really looking for a person who has that personality. Since those two left, I got good karaoke people, but they don't have the personalities. I'd love to have my son do it.
Well, I got fired from doing karaoke because they...
You did too much singing.
Yep. How did he know the answer?
Well, you know what? I put myself in the rotation.
Right. Hey. Well, you were just helping the crowd along.
You know, it's
okay. If you want to do it again.
A bar actually bought me
bring it.
Stuff.
There you
I
go,
worked
Lori.
For Center Court Lounge. Call them and ask them.
Center Court. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Every Wednesday night.
That's a throwback. Where can everybody go to find out what's happening every day of the week at Beer Stube?
Oh, it's on the webpage.
Webpage.
We got a Facebook.
Facebook, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got all those tools are out there. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just looked up more recently something about sending my people who do all that to a seminar on how to do it better. Mm-hmm. And now I got it. But the problem is I can't spend, because I got a partner now again, mm-hmm. I just can't do it myself. I got to talk to her and say, what do you think? And, you know, it's like anything. You know, everybody thinks they know it all, but you never do. You just never
Special
know
when it
all.
Comes to social media.
Every day you're going to learn.
Yeah, and it's growing fast.
Yeah.
You
and,
can't keep up with
I
it.
I just saw something the other day where, in fact, it's on my list, and I want to send these people off to this seminar and, you know, just to learn a little bit on how to run this whole thing better than what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll help. Yeah. You know, so
Wendy knows a lot.
You gotta. Yeah. I'm always reading and learning, and it changes
constantly.
Daily. Yeah. So I want to know about that seminar when we're
back
done here
in '95. I remember I attended a seminar for my label business, and the gentleman got up there and said, "If everything keeps going at the rate it is now, increasing knowledge wise, in 10 years you'll have to relearn everything every 37 days.
Oh, my. Wow. Well.
Now he says, it won't happen because the human race can't keep up with it. But if it is at the pace it's right now, and it kept accelerating, that's what would happen. Hmm. And I always find, and it's really proven out. Mm-hmm. And that was 25 years ago, or better, maybe more like 30. I don't know. It was somewhere in the 90s I attended that with technology, you know.
Yeah. So, yep. Laura, are you ready to ask him our question?
Questions?
Jeff?
Yes.
So, Jeff, why are you our cool friend?
Good question. I don't know. Just a nice guy, I guess. You know, they say nice guys finish last. I don't know if it's true or not. But
oh, I don't think
I
so.
I like it.
Nice guys. You are a nice guy.
You know, I can remember one time my younger sister saying to me, Jeff, you know, you're not going to make everybody your friend. And I say, yeah, but I like to try. And
aww.
Her thing was, is she just, a lot of people don't want to have a bunch of friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I got enough friends. And I said, well, of course, at my age now, my friends are dying fast. So, and I'll tell everybody, if you're a smoker, quit it. I've sat in that bar for 27 years, and I got quite a crew that's gone away because of their habit of smoking. Mm-hmm. So I'm just telling you, And if you think it's just your lungs, it's not. It affects every inch of your body, your skin, your arteries, your vet, everything. And it causes all kinds of problems, so quit it if you can.
That's a good tip.
Good suggestion.
It is. Well, would you come back and tell us some more stories?
Or maybe me too. I could talk for hours and hours.
Maybe we'll come to the Bear Stube and we'll just set up there.
Right?
That's what we'll do.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Appreciate it.
I hope it helps out your program.
Oh, it's gonna.
Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics, Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer,
and Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.